to I Love You and I Like You with Mark and Kathleen. Okay, it's official. We are a real podcast because this is episode 2. Thank you so much to the people who tuned in and watched the first episode on YouTube. We had more than 70 people view that. Or if you listen to it on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the results are still coming in. It's available on a lot of different platforms. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to the first one, it's available. Go listen to it or go watch it on YouTube. So before we go too far into it, we want to encourage the people who are watching to leave your comments and questions in the section below this video on YouTube. Anyone who's listening, you can go find the video on YouTube as well. Or through the Anchor app, you can actually leave us a voice message, which we might include in a future episode. We would love to make this more of a dialogue than just us talking and you listening in. We would love to include you in our podcast, some of the questions. Yep. I think it'd be fun. Okay, so as promised, last week I teased this, and Kathleen was like, what? I wanted to talk, because I think it'd be a really relevant topic for a lot of people, about your experience re-entering the workforce this week.
Well, I mean, that makes it sound all official, like I have this job with a lot of hours, and which I don't.
Yeah, but you did, you go in, you clock in, you have a paycheck.
That's true. I clock in and I clock out, so officially I've entered the workforce.
Absolutely.
Again.
That's the definition of a professional, is they're someone who's willing to pay you to do
that,
a job.
That is
right?
True. Might mean minimal, but that is very true.
Yeah, so, aside from that, because I think you need to give yourself some more credit.
Aw, thanks.
Because I'm proud of you. You just completed your first full week doing that.
Yep.
You had done kind of some prep stuff in the prior couple of weeks, but what was your experience like returning to work and like kind of making that life transition after so long?
Well, I mean, I know that you say that I need to give myself more credit, and I do. I mean,
yeah,
it's no small thing to have somebody expecting you to show up somewhere. I don't just get to come in, breeze in and out whenever I want. You know, there's a schedule that I need to follow. I have people over me and
specific tasks
and tasks jobs, right? To do. Yeah. So, I guess to let you guys know what I'm doing. I am working the desk as a secretary at a preschool down the road from our home. Mm-hmm. The preschool has about 365 students.
So this isn't a normal preschool, like in someone's basement or something.
No. It's
legit.
It's called preschool, and it's a big organization. It's really interesting.
Well, should we tell people that's where you work, or should we censor that?
I don't know.
We'll talk about it afterward, but I may go back and bleep that, but go ahead.
So anyway, I work the front desk at a preschool, and then I will be subbing in the preschool classrooms. So I haven't started the subbing work yet. What I did this week is I went in and I worked the desk.
When it was back to school. So
it was back to school. It was the
first time for all these kids to show up.
It was a little bit crazy, but the people that I work with are amazing. And I couldn't have asked for more helpful, nice, awesome people. So I dropped my kids off in the morning. And then because it's so close to where we live, our school is so close to where we live, and where I work is so close to where we live, I can come home for about 15 minutes. I usually try to, throw some dishes into the sink from the table from breakfast. At some point, we'll get those. We'll hopefully have a routine going, but honestly, probably not.
Well, this was just the first week, so like the kids are adapting to being back in school too.
Right. So, I went in with all these plans of I'm going to get up on the days I work. I'm going to exercise in the morning, wake up the kids, shower and be totally ready and, drop them off at school, have some downtime and go to work. It didn't quite work that way. I did exercise one of the mornings.
That's pretty impressive.
Which was impressive.
Yeah.
And then I put my hair in a wet ponytail because I did not have time to dry it. But as far as, honestly, I think it was really good for me because I know that it's good for the kids to go back to school. At the last 2 weeks before school started, they kept saying they were bored of everything.
Right.
Like, you have a whole house full of toys. No, I'm bored. Go play with your friends. I love my friends, but I just played with them. Okay, do you want to go somewhere? Let's go to the pool. We went to the pool all summer.
Yeah, and even the streaming content stuff. They're like, oh, I've watched everything.
Play your video games. I don't care. Do something. Yeah. No, I'm bored. So it was time. It was time for them to go back to school. Yeah. And I mean, and you know, when people are bored, people get grumpy. And so we had grumpiness and bored kids. And anyway, however, I am one of those moms that really, really miss their kids when they're gone. It's like a
separation anxiety almost.
Well, no, not separation anxiety. Like, I am excited for them to go to school because I'm excited for them to learn new things and be, you know, have new adventures. But at the same time, I really, really miss them a lot. Like, I love having my kids home.
Yeah.
Even through the ups and downs, I love having my kids home. So the second I dropped them off, I was like, no, I miss my kids so much. But I didn't have a lot of time to dwell on that because I went into work.
Right.
And because I only work about 3.5-4 hours, it's not a full day.
Per shift, yeah.
I had time to come home and, you know, actually get those dishes into the dishwasher.
Right.
But I had time to come home and decompress a little bit. But it was great because I could tell that I was really, really sad and missing them. And I was completely distracted by the things I had to do at work. And so because of that, I was in an okay mood when they got home to actually be present.
Right. And to be excited to see him again.
Yeah.
So how would that compare with last year, which was the first year that they were both in school all day and you didn't have this job?
Well, it was really funny because
you miss them more?
So last year, I had always heard of moms who miss their... Okay, so our oldest is 10 and our youngest is...
Seven. Yeah.
Our oldest is 10.
I don't remember how old
seven.
I am. So, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so last year was the first year that they were, because they do half day kindergarten. So last year was the first year that they were in school for 6 hours. It was the full day school.
Yeah. Because our daughter was in first grade at that point. Yeah.
And I didn't have any kids at home anymore. And I had all these grand plans. I'm like, I'm going to learn a new hobby. I'm going to have, you know, this.
Study Spanish.
Yeah.
I'm going to. Art studio.
Right. Like all these grand plans. Yeah. I'm going to get really healthy and fit.
Right.
And I'm going to, you know, I don't know.
It's like a solo episode of Sex and the City or something.
Like, I mean, like, yeah. Like, yeah. I had just, in the back of my mind, I was going to be, like, this amazing, accomplished woman, you know?
Yeah.
And I was going to run my house in great, like, I had these plans for, like, dinner at this time and, like, this amazing spread. And I never at all, it's totally stumbling over my words.
You're just at a loss for words.
I'm just at a loss for words. I never thought that I would be one of those moms that was really, really sad because I'm always excited for the next adventure for myself and my kids.
Yeah.
So, our kids.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're around more than I am, so they're more yours than mine. Yeah.
Okay. So, it was just really interesting. The first week that they were in school, I had all these things planned up and outlined, but I just tanked. I don't know if it's depression, I don't know if it's anxiety, I don't know if it was just missing them, but
right.
it was just really, really hard. And so instead of sitting around, instead of actually doing any of the things that I had planned on doing, I just kind of sat around and time slipped by and I didn't really do any of the things I wanted to do. And it was really, really hard.
Yeah. Well, and then I've had days like that where you kind of get to the end of the day. And sometimes this happens at work. You know, like today, for example, I just wasn't feeling it. So I didn't have as good of numbers as I should have or whatever. Had some good conversations with the people that sit by me. We talked a lot about movies and TV shows and stuff, but, you know, at certain points in life, you look back and you're like, what did I do today?
Yeah, and that's how my whole year was last year.
Account for what happened, right? The time passed and you did something, but... Right. Yeah.
And I knew that I did not... I knew that I did not want a full-time job. I was carpooling. Our kids went to school 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
So I was driving back and forth a lot.
You were the carpool because no one else went to that school who lived around us.
I mean, I could have carpooled, but then on my carpool days, I would have had to drive an hour away, but just because that's how it worked. So, and I know women who can run circles around me. And they can hold a job, they can do the carpool, they can do it all. And I've never been that kind of woman.
Well, not everyone's the same.
Right.
Right. So like, you know, I love the idea of like sending everyone off to go do their thing. And then I have the house to myself because I think of all the projects I would do and all the yard work I would do. And like that appeals to me, but I've never actually been in that situation.
Well, see, I might
get bored of that.
Right. And I thought I would love that idea. Yeah. I did. I loved the idea of it.
Hmm.
But
interesting.
Have you ever actually experienced it? I mean, I wonder because you're surrounded by people all the time, 24/7 at work, at home.
Huh.
How do you know if you actually work? In theory, it sounds amazing.
I don't know. I mean, the closest I get to true alone time is like riding my bike or maybe going on a hike, but
you
prefer I go with people. And it's more fun to go with people.
Yes.
Anyway.
Please go with people.
Yeah.
Please don't solo hike.
I don't want to be eaten by a mountain lion. Yeah, but so that's interesting. So then this year, having that distraction and then still having some time to kind of decompress before you reconnected with them, sounds like it went better.
It was great. And
it's only one weekend.
Well, but... I mean, yeah, it is only one weekend. We haven't really started homework. We haven't really started, I mean, any of the crazy things that come up during the school year. But I also think that the amount of time, I mean, I'm only working. My set schedule is
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
For
like 4 hours a day.
Yeah. Right. It's a total of what? 7 hours a week is for 3.5 hours a day. Yeah. So about 7 hours a week. But then I can pick up extra hours when I sub.
Right.
So
there will be weeks when you do a lot more.
There will be weeks when I do more. And I'll see how I can juggle that. And it was just really important to me that I find that balance where I can come home, where when my kids come home, I'm present for my kids.
Yeah.
I'm not at the end of my rope because I'm exhausted because I used all of my energy at my day job. I mean, you are amazing because you use all of your energy at your day job.
Yeah.
But I want you to be able to come home and like you've used all of your energy at your day job and be able to spend time with the kids without the kids and me yelling at each other because everybody's stressed out.
Right.
So
and the first week is kind of tough. I mean, we had some incidents with our son, especially kind of being stressed out and feeling like he didn't have friends because he's in a new school.
Well, he's in a new school and
you know, there was a little bit of anxiety, like the pent up stress of the day that came out around dinner time and bedtime. Right. And that's,
and then of course the mom worry, you know, like, oh my gosh, my son is worried and doesn't know any friends. Doesn't have, I mean, he does, he has some friends in his class, but they don't go out to recess. They don't go out to every recess with him and he doesn't go to lunch with them.
Yeah.
So the mom worry of, no, every mom wants their kids to have good friends that they feel comfortable with. And whether it's one or 15, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, someone that they can
I personally remember being a total loner in school a couple of times, like third grade, especially when we lived in Colorado. And then shortly after when I moved to Massachusetts, halfway through third grade. So I had just switched schools.
Switching schools.
Same thing when I moved from Massachusetts to Utah halfway through ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from high school on an open campus to a junior high. And it was hard to make friends at
first. So it's just, it's these transitions.
Yeah. But I know that it's like a temporary state because I went through it.
Right.
And so I saw our son and, you know, heard him say, yeah, I didn't really hang out with anyone at recess. And like, oh my gosh, you're going to get picked off by a child molester. Like, we're freaking out.
Like, stay in the group. Yes, stay together.
You know, find something to do that other kids are doing, you know. But by the end of the week, it sounded like other kids were kind of connecting with him and doing
So. I mean, so he was playing with sticks, the wood chips, and he was actually building, like, these, I don't know, huts or buildings. Like, he was making a village out of these wood chips. And at the beginning of the week, he was, like, he was the only one doing it. And then by the end of the week, there was... Like, there was one kid that said, oh, that's sick. That's awesome.
And sick in a good way.
In a good way. Well, but at first, you know, the reaction's always like, that's kind of weird. And then he's like, oh, it's actually fun. And kids actually started joining in.
Right.
And then he said, and today, he's like, yeah, I went out to recess and I saw a bunch of other kids. Like, they just were already playing with the wood chips and the dirt and
so
being
what
kids,
you're saying,
you know?
Is our son went through a major transformation this week. From Tuesday to Friday, he went from a loner to a trendsetter.
There you go.
Right? Yep. I credit your good parenting and counseling with
him. You mean my good anxiety and worrying and praying? And
well, he comes by it honestly, right? okay, so we kind of drifted a little bit there, but it's relevant to the conversation. So you are in a new place, in a new social setting, where prior to interviewing for this job, you only knew one other person that worked there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the person who referred you.
Right.
So you're kind of the new kid in school literally, you know, like,
right.
You're meeting new people.
There are a few other new people, but not everybody.
So you kind of relate to them. But
I don't even see them a lot. And I can't keep track of who's new and who's been there.
Well, everyone's new.
Because everyone's new to me. Yeah. Right.
So... You know, you've come home and told me about the people that you've worked with and, you know, the person who was kind of training you, and you're sad that you're not going to work with them next week and
I am
things
so
like
sad.
That. But
she's awesome.
So how have you found that transition of, you know, your social circle before was like your friends and neighbors in this neighborhood and in our ward and your family?
Right.
Right. So it's kind of a tight social circle.
Mm-hmm.
What has your transition been like this week in getting to know now your coworkers kind of on a professional level, but you want to have fun at work too?
Well, and I mean, there's that element of being uncomfortable too.
Well, you're kind of guarded because you don't know them well enough to know, you know, who they are, what their viewpoints are. Or
well,
whatever.
And I tend to jump in with both feet. Like, in any new situation, I am always so excited to start. I can't wait. I just
jump in
there.
There's a reason you were an RA in college.
I was an RA in college, and I loved it. But I jump in with both feet, and then I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Right.
Am I overly friendly? I hope that I'm not being, you know, like... I don't know. I hope I'm not being overly friendly or too, or not, you know, too guarded, or I tend to second guess myself in a new situation.
You go back over it in your mind afterward and you're like, was that too much for them?
So.
Well, speaking as a person who is not that way and like plays it very safe until I get to know someone, unless I'm in a situation where I like have to be outgoing, like I'm in leadership or something, but I was always grateful for people who were outgoing enough or forward enough or crazy enough or whatever it is to like make me break out of my shell.
And that's a relief to hear.
You know? Yeah. Well, so here's a perfect example. So I get back to the United States, and we talked about this in episode one, but I got back to the United States after 2 years in Spain and our first, you know, neighborhood or ward activity that we had was just like a get to know you thing on the fields next to our apartment buildings. And I don't even know if you were there. It was like the first week.
I didn't know you.
Yeah, we didn't even talk,
but we didn't know each other.
That's true. Maybe. But I just remember one of the people there was like super friendly and outgoing, like to the extent that it almost freaked me out.
Well, there is a balance.
She said, oh, did you hear about the fire at the circus? And I was like, no, I love the news. I haven't heard that. You know, I listen to the radio. I've been reading the news online. It's like, there was a fire I didn't even know the circus was in town, right? And she's like, yeah, it was intense. And I was like, what? Oh, in tents? Wow, like circus tents. Okay. And then she said, how much do polar bears weigh? And I was like,
she came prepared.
I was like, it could be anything now. And she's like, enough to break the ice. Hi, I'm Jenny. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Okay. That is such a BYU thing to do.
Right? Oh, it was amazing. But like from that moment, I felt like I had a friend. Now,
and you know, it did. It probably brought down barriers. It probably brought your guard down. Even if it
she got me laughing, right. Even though it was kind of weird.
Even though it was kind of weird, it may have been a little, you know, you would never have done that.
No.
And I mean, how many people actually come prepared with jokes?
Right.
But
it seemed like she'd been in similar situations before.
Yeah.
You know, like a summer camp.
For all we know, maybe she was super nervous.
Yeah.
She probably was. Yeah.
Well, and the thing that I think of, you know, in recounting that is we didn't stay like really close friends. We didn't hang out for the whole semester and whatever else.
Yeah.
But that kind of lightened the mood for everybody and opened it up and we got to know people a little better. And so just feeling like you had a place that you belonged was more important really than even making a connection with that one person.
Well, and I have to say that from the moment I interviewed for this job, all the way up until now, even despite the crazy first week, back to school, all the kids coming in, new routine, that kind of thing, the person that I interviewed with, she always just made me feel really comfortable.
Yeah.
And
well, this is the person that's in charge of everything, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's her
sure
kingdom.
She's a director, I really should know this.
Is there an org chart? It's only week one. We're not going to hold you to it. No, but so I think that's important too, because in any job, you want to like the person that you work for.
Right.
Right? You want a leader that you're willing to follow into battle.
She was very approachable too.
Yes.
And it made me okay with being able to ask her questions. And not feel like I should know this.
That's
I should
perfect.
Know everything.
Good. Well, and especially when you're new, that's something that's so critical. So I was onboarding manager for like a year and a half. And prior to that, I was a manager on a team of brand new, like entry level employees in a prior leadership role. And I was given the charge from my boss, who was just like that, to be available and approachable.
Yeah.
And what that meant was like, if people needed me, they needed to be able to find me or contact me.
Right.
And I needed to be approachable. So instead of like, oh, you know, I don't have time right now. I could be like, you know what? You are more important to me than this other thing. Or after they realize that and that they are my top priority, if I ever say, hey, can I get back to you in like half an hour?
Right.
They knew there was a good reason. Right. But you earn their trust by being like that, and you know, having your employees be comfortable asking you questions and not feeling stupid.
Well, and the other people who I work with at the desk. So I'm a secretary, but these other women have been there for a really long time, and they know the ins and outs of. I mean, they take the payments. They do everything.
Yeah.
And it was amazing how I want, you know, when I walk into a job, especially one that I don't know very well, I want to do everything right. I am apparently a perfectionist. I really am. So I was really stressed out, and it was just, they were so great at being like, oh, you know what? Don't worry. You're not expected to know everything yet. We'll let you know how to do this. And especially this one woman whom I first met, who I will be taking her shift.
Oh, okay.
So she stuck around this first week on the days that she technically, I don't think she had to be there, just to show me the ropes.
Yeah.
And having
That's
her
so valuable.
Walk me through, and like I had to go laminate something in the break room. And I mean, how easy would it be to just say, oh yeah, just get the paper's right there. Just go laminate this. You can handle that, right? And of course I could have figured it out, right?
Right.
I've worked a laminating machine.
Yeah, you have a laminating machine.
Laminating machine. Of course I could figure it out. But she took the time to walk me back there, to show me where the paper is, to show me how to feed it through. And it's a simple task, but just the knowledge that she cared enough to take the time to walk me through it just totally set me at ease. And I mean, I just, that was not the first encounter or the first person who had done that at the place that I work at.
Yeah.
So just the environment where I work is one of a lot of respect and just kindness and collaboration.
It's like, I'll help you. You help me next time.
And it really is. That's awesome.
Good. Well, I'm really happy because it seems like the, you know, the stars and planets aligned and God had a hand in this. And, because really it went from, you were just contacted by a family friend that we really haven't seen in a couple of years.
She said my name just popped into her head. Yeah. They were looking for someone. And
that point all the way through, it was like, initially it was, well, you know, we need a full-time teacher. It's like, well, you know, I'd rather do like a half a shift if mm-hmm. that's possible because right. I still have my kids. And they said, well, you know, we'll get back to you because then we'd have to get two teachers instead of one to cover the whole day. And then when they came back to you, they were like, instead of doing that, do you want to just work the front desk?
Right.
Actually, no. First, they said, do you want to just be a substitute? And then they came back mm-hmm. and they said, hey, do you want to do the front desk 2 days a week? Right. So you had like a set regular schedule. Mm-hmm. For 3.5 hours twice a week.
Right.
And then you can plug in substituting whenever it works for you and your family. Right. And it, like, honestly, it's such a blessing because I don't know that there is a possible better solution than what you have fallen into.
It is really flexible. And
it's awesome.
It's felt good the whole way.
Right.
Actually, last year, all year, I thought about working. I mean, my kids are in school all day, right? I have all this time on my hands.
Well, and you're really helpful friends that were like, oh, it must be so nice to have so much free time with your kids in school.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I did have people be like, oh, I wonder what that would be like.
Yeah.
Just, you know, in that way of, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, like they were jealous, but really they were judgy. You know,
that's how it came across.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what they intended, but that is totally how
it was received.
Yeah. That's how it's received because it's how it came across.
Right.
but I really, really felt like I should not take a job. I just, you know, that gut reaction that you get or that gut feeling. And I just, all last year, I just really felt like I should not take a job. So I volunteered and I filled my time. I helped out in the classrooms. I helped out my kids' school. And, you know, maybe they needed me there. But for some reason or another, for one reason or another, I just really felt like I needed to not work last year.
Yeah.
And I could speculate all the reasons as to why, but I don't know.
Well, and I think it's interesting because this has always been a priority of ours, right? And this will lead into the second part of this podcast after our ad break.
What has always been a priority?
Of you being able to be there for our kids.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, ever since we got married, and when you and I were dating, and even when we were first married, we both worked.
Yeah.
But when our son came along, it was, you're at home, I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a goal and priority of ours. That's how we were raised. That's the culture we come from. And
that's what we sat down because we did have some friends who divided up the work and childcare differently.
Yep.
They came from the same culture, same raising, but they figured out a way that worked for them. But the way
this
that we discussed
us.
It and this really is what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
This is what,
and I don't regret it for a second. And so,
I don't
you
either.
Know, the discussion about you going back into the workforce as a professional, because you are, was one that we didn't take lightly. You know, it was like, okay, this feels like the right thing. Let's explore this.
Right.
And all the pieces fell into place
because
the timing was right.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of a good segue into the second part of this conversation that I wanted to get into.
But before we start that, I just want to say, I really appreciate your support. And I think that what makes our marriage work most of the time is that we support each other.
Yeah.
And so in the past, when I felt a lot of pressure from just the world at large, other women, you know, I compare myself to other people sometimes, which I know I shouldn't do.
We all do, though.
Because we're all different.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But when we have struggled financially and I've come to you and said, hey, you know, Mark, like I could go work. Right. And I could, yeah. I could help shoulder this responsibility. And you've always said, well, is that something that you like, do you really, really want to? Not in a way of, do you really, really want to? I'm right. so excited for you too. But in a way of,
well, like we had discussed,
you know,
it.
We discussed you know? It in the past and you've always been supportive. Like if you want to, that's great. Go for it. You know, right. It's not like, oh no, we discussed this. You can't work. It's never been like that.
Right.
But, just knowing that you were okay. You've always said, you know, you would rather know that everything is good, that somebody is taking care of the home front.
Right.
So that when you're at work, you don't have to, which is kind of funny because I do sometimes call you about, I call you at work about stressful things yeah. that might be happening. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, when you're at work, you know that I have home. You know,
yeah.
I've got home. I have things taken care of.
Especially with a long commute. I mean, that's comforting to know because I'm in the office about 9 hours a day and I'm doing another 2.5 hours of commuting.
Right. And so we don't have to say, well, let's juggle our schedules. Who needs to take time off so that they can be there right. for the kids?
Yeah.
Who's going to parent teacher conference? There is none of that because
right.
I can cover
I
that.
I come when I can, but you are always there.
You often come and you yeah. are extremely involved, but you know that, I mean, just the way that we've had it worked out, if a kid is sick,
yep.
I'm going to be there. If somebody needs me, I'm going to be there.
Right.
And so for you to say, you don't have to do everything, you know, you don't have to work
yeah.
just to prove that you are a worthy woman of the 21st century, well, you know?
And so I think that word worthy is interesting because it's implying worth, right?
Right.
So that people define themselves lots of different ways. And some people define themselves based on their career or based on, you know, some kind of achievement or award or whatever. But, you know, I can't think of anything more worth your time than taking care of our kids.
Right.
Right? So yeah, there's nothing of greater worth that you could be doing.
And it's so easy to think of it as, well, my kids are in school, so I'm not taking care of my kids. So what am I doing? However, yeah. I know that if I were to do something, especially when they were younger,
oh, yeah.
when they were younger, if they were in even the preschool years, you know, if I were to split my time, sure, I could maybe with my time and physically, maybe I can go to work, take care of the kids. However, will I be present? Will I have right. the patience? Yeah. Will I be like able
mentally,
to...
Mentally, emotionally,
right.
it's exhausting.
And can I read what is going on? Mm-hmm. Or will I be so wrapped up in what I am doing at the office or at the workplace?
Yeah.
And I think it comes back to supporting each other because if we decided back in the day mm-hmm. that that's what we wanted to do, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
As long as somebody's there for the kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah. but that's just, well, I appreciate the support.
Yeah. And well, thank
that
you
that we
for
have
saying,
one
so.
Another too.
Thank you. Yes. Cause you are very supportive. For example, you're participating in a podcast, which was my brainchild.
I was scared to do it, but it's kind of fun.
Good.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
See, you hear that? Anyone who wants to be a guest on this,
just go for it.
Entertain those ideas. Yeah. So I think, you know, those are all helpful in informing kind of our worldview and how we have tried to raise our kids too, like mm-hmm. being very present and, you know, they're throwing a temper tantrum. We talked about this in the first episode, but there's a reason why, right? Like
right.
there's something going on behind it. All behavior makes sense in context. But if you're worn out from a whole day at work and the house is a mess and, you know, who's going to make dinner and whatever, then it's harder to sit down and have a deliberate conversation with your child, like, hey, why do you think you're feeling this way? What's going on?
And I mean, it's hard enough to do that when I am at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. No, but I think we've landed on you know, really an ideal situation where you can work a little bit, you can contribute a little to the family income. You know, it's fulfilling for you.
I love it. So far, I've loved it.
Right. And, and you haven't even subbed in a class. Like, what if you get to teach an art class?
I would love that.
Right? That's going to be amazing.
And I haven't even cried about my kids being in school, right? Which is amazing.
That's a big achievement, too. So I think, you know, this is hopefully some helpful context for you, our listeners and our viewers on YouTube, to understand, you know, this is a pretty major life change that we are still kind of navigating, but it's gone more smoothly than I think we even hoped it would.
Yeah.
And it's been rewarding and a positive all the way around. And minimally impactful on our children, which was really the overarching goal.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and you have been, once again, it comes back to being on the same page as a married couple, supporting each other for what you, the goals that you outline for your family. Because back in the day, we outlined these goals. This is how we wanted our family to function. Right. And we've updated that. I mean, we've touched base through the years, and we still feel very strongly about that being really important.
Like, but I really want to travel as a family, and we haven't done that.
So. We've traveled, but we want to, like...
Yeah.
Doesn't that go with the Q&A? Isn't there something, like,
probably,
in the
Q&A? Yeah. We have some Q&As about, like, bucket list destinations and stuff. So what we need to do first, though, and I want to kind of bring this to a broader discussion about life in general and the rest of society and the way that things work in Utah, because we get a bad rap for things sometimes. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break for our ad. And thank you for our listeners who support us and for these ads that allow us to keep doing this. And we're back. Thank you again for your support in the ads that we run during this podcast. Over our first week, and I don't know if you know this, we made 23 cents on YouTube and an additional 4 cents on Anchor. So a total of 27 cents. We can buy one big gumball and two tiny ones. So, you know, that's not the only reason that we're doing this, but that is a nice fringe benefit. So thank you to of you who are supporting us. And, you know, we're doing this as a side hustle. So it's late at night. Our kids are in bed.
As you can tell from
we're getting ready for bed. But if you hear us yawning, that's why. Or if we look a little bleary-eyed, that's why too. But you know, we were talking before the break about our personal experience with you transitioning back to the workforce.
Right.
I wanted to talk, you know, and blow that conversation out a little bit and talk about how, you know, it's different for different people. For one. You know, there are single parent families that have to rely on daycare or family members to help them out. You know, there are people who are living with grandparents, multi-generational homes, dual income families that just make it work. And, you know, weekend warriors that have extra jobs and working double shifts and things. So there is no one perfect way to do it, but this is the way that has worked the best for us. And you stepping aside from traditional work for 10 years, really.
Right.
And now kind of baby stepping back into it has been a good transition for us.
Right.
But maybe not for everyone.
And I feel like the most important thing is to really take into consideration that you have no idea what is going on in other people's lives.
Yeah.
So it's possible, it's entirely possible that, like, with us, nothing drastic happened. We didn't have a disability, or we didn't have to make ends meet. I don't know. We chose this. We chose in a good time. I mean, we chose that I was going to stay at home with the kids while they were young, and you were going to go to work. And that was a choice. It wasn't out of, it wasn't because I couldn't work.
Right.
That's what we chose to do.
And it came with, you know, we self-selected into financial difficulties.
We did.
You know, and
we
compared to 99% of the world, we're doing great. We're doing just fine.
Well, but I mean, it's not...
But I drive an awful car that I hate.
That's no air conditioning.
No air conditioning for three summers.
In a 100-degree summer.
Yeah, three summers in a row with no air conditioning.
Right.
and we haven't gone on those vacations that we want to, and we're not debt free, and you know, all of those things. But it's about prioritizing things, and there are times and seasons for different priorities. So, you know, I look back on this, and gratefully, I don't really have regrets other than, you know, maybe we could be better about reining in our spending or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're unified in our most important purpose right now, which is raising our children and being there for them and kind of helping them through this time of their life, because mm-hmm. we're half done with our son,
right?
You know, and, well, and our daughter's getting to that point,
right? And it's this crazy. Is what we have. This is, you know, we've talked about prayer. We have prayed about this, and we go with our gut. We have pretty good instincts, and we like to follow them. And this really is what feels best for our family.
For us.
And there have been times where I've let what other people's comments have been,
or even just perception
of how the world works, kind of make me doubt what my gut instinct is or what that higher power is telling me.
Well, we're definitely in the minority, right? So it's easy to feel
even within our religion, we're more in the minority.
Absolutely, and you know, a lot of that is increased cost of living, the pace of life these days, etc. So, you know, a single income family with two children living in the suburbs with a mortgage and a car payment and stuff is like, we're not the norm.
No.
We're not.
I mean, unless we are, if you guys are, let us know if we're the norm.
You know, so I would be interested to know what things you have tried. Not you, Kathleen, but our listeners, you know, how you've made things work with your own family, your own situations. You know, I have peers my age who have been widowed, you know, for crazy accidents.
And there are so many different
family situations. They've been remarried, you know, people have gone through divorces, you know, it's just that everyone is different. And, you know, I would be interested to know what people's tricks or tips are, you know, so share that with the community, leave your comments, and, you know, we can share that on upcoming episodes.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that really sparked this topic in my mind, one of the conversation pieces I wanted to bring into this, is I really am sick and tired of Utah getting a bad rap for stuff like this. And I'll expand on that. Now that we've set the stage that everyone is different, and, you know, here's what I mean. So you can't really compare Utah as a whole with the rest of the country as a whole or the rest of the world as a whole, because just like people are different and, you know, have unique circumstances and things, so do states and even counties and towns and what, like there's predominant prevailing culture behind things. And Utah is definitely much more diverse than it has been ever in its history at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, we have counties that vote Democrat now, for example. Like these are good and healthy things on a macro scale. But I read an article just a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not going to reference it exactly, so don't get mad at me if that I don't have the right statistics. But it basically said Utah is catching up in women going into STEM careers, so science, technology, engineering and math, mm-hmm. right? So studying that in school and then going into those careers, but that we are severely lagging behind the rest of the country in women completing those fields of study or actually sticking with a career once they enter the workforce. And the way that it was presented was like, yeah, Utah is terrible. Like, can you believe how backward they are and what a patriarchal society they still have? And, you know, oh, it's the Mormon church's fault, et cetera. But that's not really the full picture. And so I wanted to, you know, kind of shed some light on that very briefly. So traditionally, family structure is a man and a woman and kids and a dog or whatever. And typically the man is working. And that, you go back to like Leave It to Beaver era, that's what the whole country was like.
Right.
And a lot of that is rooted in kind of a Christian, Protestant background, whatever. And you see the same thing in like Muslim societies and Jewish societies mm-hmm. and whatever else. So
right.
It's not through anyone's specific fault of like keeping women under their thumb, but it's a traditional societal structure.
That's where you're reading the frustration is, I think that people think, oh, it's this patriarchal society right. where, you know, as opposed to, no, it's a choice.
We just discussed this in the first half of the podcast.
That we support each other.
Right.
It's supporting each other in the goals that we have for what we want our family to look like.
Right.
And, I mean, I guess...
Well, I've known families that have been the opposite, right? So the wife works and the husband stays at home. Mm-hmm. And I've known families where both people work, et cetera. But
I think what it comes down to is we also take the responsibility that we have for raising our children.
Yeah.
I think every parent takes that responsibility seriously. But
the way we've chosen to go about it is like a very narrowly focused
right.
way. Right. So just like, and this will, you know, blow it out too much probably, but just like there are free range parents that are like, oh, I don't know where my kids are. And those kids are typically fine. They're only abducted at slightly higher rates. But like, typically those kids are fine. Uh-huh. Right.
Right.
But that's not really how we are. We want to know where our kids are, who they're right. hanging out with,
right.
what house they're going to be playing at, you know, so. We're not quite helicopter parents, but we're definitely more on that
well,
side of the spectrum.
Thankfully to you, we aren't quite helicopter right. parents.
Yeah, but, you know, I just think it's hard to take the values of society as a whole, like on a national scale,
mm-hmm.
and then focus in on a very unique culture
and religion.
And predominant
religion. You mentioned
religion.
Jewish people
yep.
and Muslim people.
Yep.
I mean... people don't...
No, but basically any monotheistic religion
right.
is structured in a very similar way, right? So,
but it's just so interesting how people don't usually talk about the other cultures.
Right.
It's like, oh, Utah, what's going on with Utah?
Right. Well,
but they miss the fact that a lot of it is tied to our religious background.
Yeah, and it's people's choice, you know? So I, you know... To give you some insight, if you are not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and there are guidelines and documents and things that basically teach us that, you know, a woman, a mother, is predominantly responsible for the nurture and care of their children, and that a husband or a man is predominantly responsible for providing for and caring for the family, right? And so...
That's in that same document, it also says, and they support each other
right.
in each of their responsibilities.
Right.
But I think people only read, they only catch that, oh, what? That's so backward. They miss the part that says they support each
right.
other.
And
in that document.
Predominantly. That doesn't mean right. that I don't nurture our kids.
Right.
That
right.
means that's
and it doesn't
more
mean that
you.
I can't help
right.
with providing.
Yes.
It just means that predominantly that's what...
Yeah,
that's how we break it down.
It's our primary responsibility,
right?
Right, and we're fine with that. And that doesn't mean if someone's doing it differently, that's wrong. Every family has different societal pressures or just financial pressures and different times of life, like we already discussed. But it's unfair to say, like, oh, what's wrong with Utah? Why aren't women sticking with these STEM careers? It's like, well. They may be having children and then choosing to drop out of the
right.
workforce for a
right.
time.
And know? It's not even to say that they are permanently out of the workforce.
No.
I mean, I never had a passion for the STEM careers, but if I had a passion, if I had had
yeah.
a career, I most likely would pick it back up and pursue it
yeah.
after.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think of people that I work with, you know, in the financial industry where I am, where... When I started out, we had 2 weeks of paid paternity leave, which was
right.
kind of unheard of. Like, the husband gets time off of work.
Right.
That's amazing. Or the father, I guess. It doesn't necessarily have to be the husband. And the mom got 6 weeks back in the day. So now, or 6 or 8, something like that.
Something like that.
But now the man, so paternity leave is 6 weeks. And for the mom, it's 4 months.
Yeah.
It's 16 weeks. So even in a very structured corporate HR supervised lawyer approved environment, the women get more time off to be with their kids.
Right.
So I don't think you can point at one thing and say, oh, it's just because the founders of this state were these patriarchally structured Mormon men or whatever.
Right.
And you can't just say, well, you know, the state is still about half members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And you can't just say, oh, it's because it's this weird Western state that, you know, Mitt Romney represents as their senator. Like, it's, you can't put Utah in a box like that, especially with the influx of people that we're seeing from other states. You know, it's a cultural thing.
Right.
If I go to Target on a Wednesday in the middle of the
which
day,
which you have done
I am
before.
Seriously out of place. And, you know, that's fine.
Oh, I love Target.
I don't have a problem with that because this is what people are choosing to do with their time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just had to get that off my chest. It's been bugging me. That's one of the reasons I proposed this as a topic for the podcast. But I think the message at the end of this podcast, just like at the end of probably every podcast, is give each other a break.
You support know, each other.
Support
be there for each
other.
Communicate with each other.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously in your marriage relationship and in your family, those things are crucial. Right. Mm-hmm. But even expand that out to your friends, your neighbors,
coworkers,
yeah. You know, everyone is doing the best that they can with the knowledge that they have and the abilities they've been given.
And you have no idea what people are going through.
Not at all. Not at all.
So,
we're all dealing with something. So take that message. That's as good a place as any to wrap up the podcast. Yeah. Thank you for tuning in. You all are awesome. And don't forget that. Doing the best you can. And thank you for joining us in this discussion. Mm-hmm. We love you and we like you. And I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you too.
Thanks for tuning in.